Thank you all for coming. I appreciate that many colleagues are actually involved in teaching at this time. So if I could ask, what you hear today is in no way confidential or restricted, and the more people who know what's going to be happening, the better, actually. And the reason to have this meeting is to just make sure that what I say is clear, and so nobody misunderstands what's happening. What I'm going to talk about relates to this building. So as far as chemistry is concerned, it is only activities in this building and not anywhere else. And probably two things have got slightly mixed in this. You will know that the management team or the heads of section and Elaine and Chris and I went on what we called a space walk probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the object of which was really to have a look at how space was being utilized in the building and just to see how flexible we could be in accommodating new research activity. This is an issue that actually comes from success. Many of academics have been successful in winning quite large grants, which means that they will be taking on new students and new postdoctoral workers, and we need to find space for them. And we need to have the right sort of laboratory space for these sort of activities. And so part of what we were looking for was where we could accommodate people, and we need to accommodate people in a logical sort of way, so there might be a certain shuffling around. I think for those who were on the walk with me, the conclusion really was that this building has, it's bizarre, in many ways has intense places where enormous number of people are all crammed in together, and has other places where the occupancy is low, shall we say. So our conclusion was that there is no problem about making people find the space. And what I would hope, and the management team have sort of discussed this, that nobody would disagree that we cannot reward success of academics who get new grants and hence expand their research activity. So we cannot say to these people, well, actually, you've got this small space which only takes 6 research workers, and the fact you've got 12 is a problem. I would hope that we'd all realize that the ebb and flow of research, which we all encounter at one stage or another, has to be accommodated in a building if we're going to be successful. So if we take that as a given, the other thing which the management team have agreed is that space in this building, and I think nobody will take exception to this, is not designated to individuals. There is no part of this building that belongs to Professor X or Professor Y. It may be Professor X, Professor Y, Dr. X, or whatever has occupied that space for a long period of time, but that doesn't incur any rights. It also implies that there isn't really an activity associated with given areas. We have in the past stratified the building so that at the very highest level has been theoretical chemistry, and in the pits has been NMR, and everybody else is somewhere between these two extremes. And that worked for a logical sort of sense. And those who remember this building originally will know that it was designed in a way that every member of staff got an equal footprint, whether they had fume hoods and benches or whether they had space for instruments. They nevertheless had the same space, and there was an office tucked in the corner. And that cannot be a model for the future. So those are the sort of guiding principles. Things move quite quickly nowadays, and so we have to be able to adjust quite quickly. People get funding. The timescale from them conceiving of the project to it being funded is less than a year, often 6 months. So we have to be able to adjust when these things happen. So that was the sort of conclusions of the spacewalk, and we will make some sort of small adjustments, but they're not very large. The other sort of overwhelming conclusion was that this is also a department of extremes, not theory and NMR, but there are some exemplary areas where good housekeeping, good practice is engaged in, and there are some atrocious areas. There also is hoarding of redundant equipment of all sorts, actually, in offices, in labs, in workshops, and we can't sort of accommodate what we want to have going forward if we are restricted by all this sort of junk which has passed its sell-by date and isn't used. And so we will be moving towards helping people clear out in the future. So that was the easy bit, actually. The next bit is that something has, which has been talked about for a while, is suddenly upon us. And this is courtesy of our friends, the Directorate of Estates. The Directorate of Estates are going to come and, I think if you take a detached sort of view, significantly improve the facilities of this building. It comes from a fact, those with long memories will remember that it was in 1998 that we first started the program of refurbishment, putting in synthetic space with fume hoods, and we took out what used to be called the penthouse on the very top of the building, and that became a plant room. And the extraction system for all of these fume hoods are those big red pipes that go down the outside of the building. It is fair to say that as a system, that has never worked as designed. It was meant to be future-proofed. It had meant to have spare capacity built in it so that as we did more floors, we could add to it, etc. It became quite clear when we started to refurbish some of the areas in the old teaching labs that the capacity was not there. And the system is a pretty sort of single point of failure system as well. So if the fans stop working, everything stops working. So the plan is to replace that ventilation system. It will be replaced by something which are called strobic fans. This is the sort of Dyson of fume hoods. As Dyson is to vacuum cleaner, strobic fans are to fume hoods. They are much more efficient, consume a lot less electricity, and give us a certain sort of diversity so that we don't have these single points of failure. This is the system that's used in the extension for the teaching labs there, is it not?
Sorry, it's used in David Lee's area.
David Lee's, yes. Okay, so David is the pioneer, as in many things, for this. Right, so in order to make this happen, little by little, people will have to vacate the area they're in to allow the new plumbing to be put in for their fume hoods and then return. So conceptually, it's a bit like a windows project, really, except the windows people worked from outside, these people will work from inside. And so we all have to have somewhere to go whilst this work is going on. And what we don't want is to disrupt the ongoing research. So this means those of you who are doing synthesis will wish to move somewhere where you can carry on and have fume hoods in the same sort of way. And the ideal, which is what we've come round to, is that that should be in this building. And I have to tell you that earlier discussions suggested that we might go and look for space elsewhere. And so that will not happen. So the space that will be used for the decant is the sixth floor. The sixth floor, of course, does not have any of the facilities which those of you, say, on the second and third floor might want. So the first stage of this exercise is to reconfigure the sixth floor so that it has the required number of fume hoods, the required amount of write-up space, the required amount of office space to enable us to move people out and into that area whilst their ventilation is renewed, and then move them back and move the next group in. So as you probably know, if you watch David Lee's sort of escapades, it takes about a year to refurbish a space of that order. So this will start probably about Easter time, whenever Easter is next year. The design still has to be done and will probably be finished next year. So phase one, which is preparing the decant space, will be finished by 2014, the start of 2014. The members, those who occupy the sixth floor, will of course have to move to alternative accommodation, which means really squeezing up and to find space for these people. Fortunately, there isn't a great deal of experimental work goes on the sixth floor, and it's not synthetic fume cupboard based work, but we have a plan for that. So how many can you get on the sixth floor, you might ask? Well, the answer is what they're going to try and do is to take, if you think of this building as a T, so we're sort of on one part of the T, is that they will do one part of each floor. So each floor is really in two parts. It has the T and the whatever, the top and the base of the T. So these will go up, down, up, down. How long will it take? Well, it depends how many fume hoods there are in a particular area. Some have an enormous number of fume hoods, some don't. So the time it could take is perhaps 3 months to 6 months for each one of these moves. How many such moves are there? Well, you can work out how many floors there are. The people who are exempt from this is the new wing, the teaching, the labs, etc., in the new wing. The ohmic and nanoporous part of the top of the T, so to speak, David Lee, who's got everything and already, and the radiochemical center, because it has its own independent ventilation system. But the rest of us will share in this. And so that means that there's probably about 6 to 7 moves. So this project, which is what estates euphemistically call things like this project, by the time it is finished, will be 2016. Okay, so we will have the builders in, I'm afraid, for that period of time. I'll just mention a couple of little things that are also going on at the same time. It is about 50 years since this building was done. And if you buy a house which is 50 years old and nobody has done a rewiring of that house, you will certainly be told by the surveyor that that is overdue. So in and amongst all this, the bits of the building that have not been refurbished will be rewired. So that's the basement, the ground floor. The sixth floor will get rewired as part of its decant. Seventh floor is okay. Bits of the fourth floor and anywhere else? Bits of the fifth, yep. Okay. And actually, whilst they're on it, they're going to redo the water supplies, which again are old and what have you. Okay, shall I just, as we're all sort of totally punch drunk, there is also another possible estates activity going on, which is there is a strong indication that faculty would like to concentrate its radiochemical activities in one place. For reasons of sort of safety regulation, it's not thought desirable that a lot of radiochemistry might proliferate into earth and atmospheric sciences, chemical engineering. And so this building, the radiochemical center, will become the faculty's radiochemical facility, which means that the fifth floor radiochemical center will sort of expand. It will move down the fifth floor to sort of the lifts. Now that in the scale of things is actually probably a relatively minor estates alteration compared with a lot that's going on, but it will be happening at about the same time. So, if we sort of live to 2016, we will be in a much better state going into the future. We will have ventilation systems that will work, that will be future-proofed. We will have power that works and is adequate. In many of the areas in the building, there are not adequate power for the activities that are going on. But there will be a little pain before we get to that point. There isn't actually a lot more detail to tell you. I just wanted you to sort of know and perhaps reflect upon this sort of thing. Part of it, so what do we do with the sixth floor, you might ask, when all this is over and we're now left with a huge space filled with fume hoods that wasn't before? I think as this process goes on, we will need to think what the building and its usage will be in 2016. And it may be that the sixth floor becomes a home for synthesis, and some parts where synthesis goes on now might be remodeled into labs for instrumentation and physical and other sorts of activities. So the shaking up of everything doesn't necessarily mean that we might all end up back where we started from. So flexibility of mind and reality is going to be key in all of this. So should I just say Merry Christmas at this point, or has anybody got any questions that they'd like to ask?
Any
I think it will be very similar to what we had in the last 12 months with David Lee's work, yeah. So they did sort of share the lifts with us. It has to be said, and
that's not necessarily the case, I have to say. We may be able to persuade them to put an external hoist up the building, which would certainly be a lot less disruptive for clog stores.
Yeah. At the moment, we're very much at the early planning stage, and all these things will have to be determined early on, because the costing of the project does depend on access and things like that. So. It's right. So we will hold out for the most minimal disruption possible, because the way we're doing this is to enable research to continue with the least possible disruption and activities. Teaching, I think, isn't a concern. Teaching will, apart from perhaps a slight movement of staff from time to time, which we had for the windows anyway, is not going to be an issue. The teaching labs, the lecture theatres, the foyer, all of that is going to be okay. It's keeping the research going. And, one cannot hide the fact that people are going to have to pack up, move, continue their research, and then pack up and move back again. So there will be a small disruption to it. How much we move is, again, an interesting question. Is every glove box, is every, gizmo necessarily needed, and might it stay in place? And that depends really whether your area is down for a 3-month interruption or not. I suppose you could all take a 6-month holiday in a period. No, I didn't say that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This does not include a refurbishment of the basement area, other than the provision of, a new electrical power and water. So you will suffer a little bit, and we will all suffer for a little bit, because there will be times when we will have to take instrumentation, analytical instrumentation, out of service whilst the rewiring is going on. We'll try and keep all that to a minimum. Perhaps the question you didn't ask, but which would have been also a very good one, is how much control we might have over the timing of all this. And I think that, again, is up for discussion. But the logic dictates that you start at the top with your fans and you run the pipework down. So it is most likely that the first people to suffer will be on the fifth floor, and the last people to suffer will be on the first floor, just because you can't build a pipe sort of from the bottom up. Perhaps. Any others?
So, Chris,
yep.
First of all, there seems to be an awful lot of planning we need to do before we start doing anything on the sixth floor, because we obviously need to get a feeling for what the shape of the department's going to be in 2016. Otherwise, we could end up with far more fib covers or far fewer fib covers. And the second thing is, you said the faculty was thinking of putting the radiochemistry, said the radiation-related activities in this building. And then you said we just expand as far as the lift. That doesn't strike me that the fifth floor is anything like big enough that you only go as far as the lift. In fact, they're overcrowded now.
In terms of refurbishing space,
yeah,
we will go as far as the lift.
Okay, I can see what you're answering. Your answer is, yes.
I'm just talking about what areas are not going to be in use at any given time, shall we say.
Yeah. Nuclear materials, yeah. And the intention is to think about localizing the work with nuclear materials because of their particular accountancy requirements. So there would be radioactive work done elsewhere still, but nuclear material work on campus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that one as a project in estate speak is not as advanced as the one that's about to come. So. In terms of configuring the sixth floor, I mean, it has to be able to accommodate all the potential decant. Whether that is the configuration you would like it to stay in when all this is over is not necessarily clear. Now, Jim won't like me to say this, but it is actually easier to take fume hoods out than to put them in. So if we do end up with 30 fume hoods on the sixth floor, but the great plan for the future is that only 15 are needed, then 15 can actually be removed. The ventilation just gets capped and what have you. I find it difficult, but people might be able to help me on this, to exactly see what shape this school is going to be in 2016, and hence what we might want. As people come in, as David Lee came in, it was clear what he wanted, and we were able to provide it. It might be that other people come in and we will be pointing to the sixth floor in 2016 as a suitable space for them, and it might be different. People have said that it might be a good space for a MChem project space as well, which would take the pressure off some of the research labs and make us use them differently. So there's a lot of sort of ideas, but we've got 4 years to think that through, actually. But we have to provide enough for the decant. We can't sort of say, and you need, if you work out the biggest area, which is probably the third or the second floor in terms of fume hoods, you can work out that you're going to need at least 30 fume hoods to be able to move the activity upstairs.
So you're moving half floor at a time, essentially?
Yeah. So we're going to have that, or else the whole game. Yeah, except it can be sort of more open plan and more flexible. It would need some flat floor space for instrumentation as well, so for some of the other areas. So, okay, so the message is one of success. We would not have this investment being dumped on us. I don't think we know even what the cost of this project is, do we? If it wasn't thought that doing this for chemistry rather than letting them wither, it would be a worthwhile thing. What we have to do is to use this as a springboard to thinking about, I keep talking, we'll probably finish the century by the time I get there, but we're moving into the 21st century. We're moving away from what a 20th century chemistry department looked like. And I think we have to keep that in our mind. A lot of instrumentation is getting smaller. Access to instrumentation is often not via technical staff, but is now walk up. We have to sort of arrange things differently. The preparation for samples is different. Even things like the need for hazards labs. What we use hazards labs for now is not the same as there used to be 10 years ago. So everything moves on. And if we have a rigid system, we can't respond to that. We are, as I've said to you before, aiming to be a world-class leading department, and so we need to be competitive in the facilities that we have. And so having fume hoods which suck, which is basically what this is all about, is apparently most important. So unless anybody's got any other questions, then I will prematurely wish you a Merry Christmas then. Thank you.